You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into the Locked On Pacers podcast. My name is Adam Friedman. As always, I'm a staff writer at IndyCornrows.com and one of the co-hosts of the Locked On Pacers podcast. And joining me for a slightly different week setup, but as we head into the playoff stretch, is Mr. Tony East. Tony, the Pacers are officially locked in at the five. Good, bad, expectations where they should be.
They were locked into the five before this game.
If I was to tell you before the season, they were going to be the five seed to win the same amount of games, basically be the exact same spot as last year, would you have taken that as a good or bad thing?
If you said just that, I probably would have been disappointed. But if you included that Vic only played 36 games, I would have been impressed. So there's kind of a yin and yang to that. But just the statement you just gave me, I probably would have been disappointed.
But didn't we kind of predict them to be the same? Did we both say 48 wins?
We both said 48. That's true. That's true.
So, I mean,
five seed just seems like less improvement than it really is. Like, guys were better, you know. Things were better than last year. It just sucked because they don't have Vic.
What is a little crazy, though, if you look at it, the standings from, like, three to five are basically the same way they were last year.
Yep.
I believe Philadelphia last year won 51 games, maybe 50 games. Cleveland won 49, and Pacers won 48. Kind of end up similar to that. And then you had the one team that ran away with the conference last year as well. So it just – I guess I understand how if you add the Vic in, it's like a complete awesome. But when you remember they play in the East, that it's like, okay, this is kind of like where they should be, right? Man.
Well, and yeah, when Vic played, they were like, I think I've done this a million times, they're a 57-win pace team. You know, they were very good with him on the court.
But they weren't going to win all those games in March. They had a lot of tough games in March.
No, that's true. But they also missed him for 11 easy games that they could have won earlier.
Yeah,
they did do well in that stretch. I don't know. Yin and Yang, which is now my phrase of the show.
Well, speaking of playoff teams, congratulations to the Brooklyn Nets. With their win over the Pacers, end up as – do they have a seed locked in yet, or are they just in the playoffs?
Top seven. So six or seven.
Six or seven, because they aren't getting to five, obviously.
They're not getting to five. They're six or seven. They cannot fall to eight is basically what I should have said.
So congrats to that. This is the Nets team that's rebuilt
without itself. A lottery pick in 3 years. That's a great rebuild.
Yeah, I saw a tweet from David Aldridge. It was like, this is how you build the team, or, you know, watch the Nets model for how you rebuild without a top three pick, you know, good organization, good coaching. And I agree with all that, but also remember that they do play in the East. I mean, that's the biggest factor in them getting in the playoffs, right?
The East is still, again, I'm telling you this every time, only worth like two more wins. It's not like so crazy, but.
No. Well, first of all, a 41-win team isn't even in the top 10. That's all I mean.
That's fair.
The Nets would be the ninth.
They would win 37 wins in the West, but that would not make the playoffs. I see what you're saying.
Well, even if the wins lost in the same, it's the fact that playing in the East is less wins
fair
to get
enough.
In.
I'll give you that.
Yeah, but no, it's still an accomplishment. And they're a frisky team, right? That's the right way to phrase them.
Yes.
All
the Pacers players now are, like Thad just said, like 1 minute ago, I'm reading this off Twitter, the Nets were a frisky team. They took us out of the game early. We were in an uphill battle each and every possession. And then Nate, the spokes guy, Agnes, in the mighty press conference room just said, just bad energy to start this game. I can't explain that. We brought no fight to this contest tonight. I agree. The offensive rebounding battle was a disaster in this game because the Nets were trying very hard to get their playoff spot and the Pacers were not trying very hard at all.
No, the Pacers, this was the kind of game when if you get up really big for that Celtics game, when you lose that game by, what was it, 20 points or whatever, that's just what happens. This is the outcome of that.
Yeah, so their rationale this game was to try to play a regular-ish rotation because DC was back and like Kojo looked better playing with guys he's more familiar with. He shot 5 for 9 and DC looked terrible taking off the rust. But then like Tyreek didn't play, so you didn't even really have your normal rotation anyway. And it kind of makes them like less confident almost. But I think resting would have been better than playing them in this game. But I get why you try to get the rotation back and shake off the rust, especially because if they had won and the Celtics had lost, the Celtics play Tuesday and the Pacers play Wednesday. So they could have known if they could have rested in the last game anyway, but now they know regardless.
Yeah, I don't mind playing the starters in this game for
I kind of
under, well, they played each one under 30 minutes. I don't mind them.
Yeah, that's true.
Turner
got hurt though. Yeah,
but it didn't seem like it was terrible, right?
It didn't look bad on the replay. Like, he didn't roll it over anybody or anything like that.
Yeah, and that's where you understand, like, okay, you don't want that. But I also understand that you can't basically go, well, you've got 9 days if they end up playing. I don't know if they're going to play Saturday or Sunday, but 9 days without playing a significant minutes. I mean, that's a lot for guys. And it's – especially a team that's – you've had Carlson in and out of the lineup constantly for better part of a month. What Matthew missed a couple games here there. You just – you haven't had any continuity for a while. So, I mean, I don't mind. Especially, like, he didn't – Nate didn't go, like, over the top. You know, I think he played the most was Bogdanović 29 minutes. Everybody else is 23, 25, 20 minutes.
No, Sabonis played 30, but that's because Turner got hurt.
Yeah, and that's because Sabonis coming off the bench. I mean,
yeah.
I guess they should.
Well, and Josh Baker, this is only sort of related. Josh Baker, he's a camera guy. He does a lot of the Jumbotron stuff. Said he was watching Miles close by the whole game because he was under the baseline, I think, right by him. Said at the end of the game, he took the ice off and had his shoe back on, like, even with the sprained ankle. So I think he's fine. It just is a shitty timing for an injury like that.
Yeah, I guess if you're Nate, you maybe should try to find a way to play O'Quinn a little more.
Just I agree. Well, yeah, you have him for exactly this. You know.
Yeah, that's the only place I could see critiquing the rest of it. Like, he played Holiday and Leaf basically 19 to 23 minutes, so that made sense. You know, playing McDermott 20 is fine. I mean, I don't know, and not it wasn't egregious. I just think it's kind of one of those things where Turner. He gets hurt every 7 games. So he turns something, shoulder here, ankle here. I mean, not like.
Seems so fluky. I don't get how he got hurt. He just must have been awkward landing.
I think every time we say that, how did he hurt that part of his body?
The biggest fluke one is for sure when he had that crazy breakaway dunk. Everybody highlighted it. It was so sick. And then it's like, oh, he sprained his shoulder.
Yeah. I think honestly, just because he's such a big dude, he's just a fluky injury type of guy. I don't know how else to. We've been over that before. I mean, he just every
so
little.
So the Nets, the 17-4 offensive rebounds. Excuse me, Kyle O'Quinn garbage time ruining my stat. That's your game because they didn't even shoot that much better from the field. They actually shot worse from the field and from three, but they got to the line more and took way more shots because their offensive rebounds. And there's your game.
Yeah, and I mean, the Nets. I mean, it's easy way to say the Nets wanted this game more. I mean, it all comes down to that.
There was one. Damari Carroll had like not a breakaway, but like a half transition layup, and he missed.
He got another rebound.
He shot it between Thad and Bogey, and then they both just stood there, and he just grabbed it and scored. I was like, what was that? Did you even want the ball? Like, what the hell was that?
Yeah, I think the question with this game is this just a – kind of like one of those games where it's just like they aren't trying because they know they're getting ready for the playoffs, or is this a symptom of this team has felt disappointed by the where they ended up that it's going to bleed in the playoffs? That's
We were talking in the Slack chat about like mental momentum, if that makes sense. And how, you know, if you play your whole rotation then you win, that helps a little bit. But if you play your whole rotation like you did and then you lose, does that kind of hurt? But you also had young guys playing a lot and they were, you know, you weren't really trying. Like, how do they come out from this mentally? I don't know that it impacts them at all, but it just feels weird.
I think the one thing you have to expect is because they have a team of guys who Turner's made the playoffs. This will be his fourth straight year in the playoffs. Young's been in the playoffs.
The whole team made the playoffs last year, and they added Matthews.
Yeah, and they have got lots of playoff experience. So they've got Collinson, who's been in God knows how many playoff games. Same with Young.
and Kojo, too.
And Kojo. So you would expect, even if they end the races on a bad note, that those guys would be able to help get past that mental kind of end of the season and kind of like really refocus, get the team repositioned for the playoffs, because it seems like they're going to have a tough series against the Celtics. I mean, it feel like they turned a corner at the same time. So they're not drawing this crappy Celtics team, which we'll preview that later in the week about the matchup if they play the Celtics, because they possibly couldn't, I guess. But it just seems like they're going to need to be the mentally stronger team. Is the one way they might have an advantage over the Celtics, at least.
Yeah, they certainly can. And if the Celtics get in there and they play my turn kind of stuff, that's another big chance because they have a lot of guys who are like that. But that's for a later date. That is true, though. I think, I just don't know what they're going to take away from this game mentally at all. They're doing the fan stuff right now. You know, it's the fan night, so they're out on the court shooting the T-shirts into the stands. So I haven't heard it from anybody in the locker room. I'm very curious, but we'll see.
Yeah, maybe that would help them also just kind of get over the loss.
Oh, man. Nate McMillan says Miles Turner has back spasms and his foot injury.
Oh, I'm shocked.
Woo. But he also said he could have came back in the game, but he didn't want to be.
He's got a week.
Never mind.
He's got a week, basically. I mean, I don't.
Yeah, he'll be back.
He'll be back. Anything else with the Nets game you want to preview before we talk about the Hawks game?
The Nets are fun to watch. Does that count as a thing?
Yeah.
And it's just like run around like crazy and throw all these passes and shoot threes. It's fun.
Yeah, they're
not good particularly. They're just okay, but they're fun.
I guess, I mean, we won't have this conversation on this podcast, but like, I mean, where do the Nets go from here, I guess? Is there, they're a fun team that's going to win 40-something games, but I don't know what the next step is.
Yeah, that's true. Do you keep D'Lo? Do you add a...
Well, they're going to... I'm assuming they're going to keep Russell, I assume.
Probably.
But I mean, like, how do they go from being this 40... Say they win 42 games. Yeah, they got to
add someone good. I don't know.
How you know, team that's a six seed to, like, a top... One of the top six teams in the... Or top five teams in the East. I mean...
Do you read anything into Kojo finally shooting better? Or do you just, you know, it happened to be a game?
I think it just happened and we'll hope he keeps it going. I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't. Yeah.
He's really killing himself for this contract this summer, though. He was really.
He sure is.
He's pushing
things. He was amazing shooting in October. That sounds like a stretch, but remember how good he was to start the year?
Yeah, he's definitely hurting his stock right now. I mean, I think at one point we thought he might get like a full 4-year mid-level exception kind of thing. And now I don't know.
Yeah, he's probably like a $5 to $8 million player.
Yeah, I mean, right about where he's at right now, instead of a pay bump per se.
I wanna check this now. See, you'd prefer consistency over the whole season, but Kojo is a 44% free throw shooter for the first month and a half of the year. It's like it's a tough balance.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you'd hope a guy with the playoff experience that he has, championship experience can understand, at least if he's not shooting well, how to pick his spots to be effective, but I don't know. He's just been miserable for the better part of a month.
Yeah. Hopefully playing with the guys he's more familiar with will help. That's all I can say.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think it's just a kind of wait to see. And I mean, Howard didn't have a great game tonight. So I mean, I think that kind of, I guess he had an okay game with 7 assists, but that kind of, we thought, you know, a little while where Holiday might kind of replace either Evans or if Joseph played really this bad, that him, but I think they're going to have to ride Joseph in the playoffs.
Yeah, they will have to play him a lot. He's easily their best guard defender.
Yeah, they're going to, and he's going to have to guard Kyrie a lot, I think.
He is.
So, anything else with the Nets game?
No, that's all. I'm glad DC got back. That makes me happy that he'll be ready to go.
All right, well, let's take a quick break, and then we're going to preview the Hawks game. So, hey, Tony, have you heard about this Wise indoor camera?
I have, Adam. It sounds really awesome and not very expensive, which is fantastic.
So here's the thing. It's like $20, and you can use it for what? Basically watch anything in your house anytime and pretty good HD, night quality, all that kind of way, right?
It seems like you can use it for both like a doggy cam and also to like film yourself jumping on a trampoline or like doing fun activity, like zip lining or a fun activity like that.
Yeah, and also seems like a good thing that you can use to kind of watch parts of their house. If you have a big house or you have blind spots in your home or like you want to maybe want to cook dinner while your kids are in the playroom. So you want to make sure, you know, they're, you know, a young kid, you want to be able to watch them kind of thing. Like it's like the perfect kind of thing to just be able to see things around your house that maybe you feel like you can't see.
And because you can use it for everything, they want to make sure you can keep all this stuff because you might be filming all the time. They have this rolling cloud storage stuff for 14 days. Like everything you film will be uploaded to the cloud for free. You can download it anytime. Make sure you keep it. It's great. You can use it for some examples. They give you bird watching your food simmer on the stove while you run errands, watching over your water softener to know when you need more salt, watching your plants grow through a time lapse. Many fun things you can do with these awesome, only $20 Wise cameras.
Yeah. So I told this story last time, but so my roommate has a small little pet snake, and it escaped the cage, and we found it about 4 days later.
Wow.
But, it would have been great. I don't know if we found it. I guess I don't know if I told people we found it between the last time I read the ad, but it would have been really nice to have one of these cameras to watch to figure out where it went. Cause it, you know, it just apparently left the cage, the top opened a tiny bit and it slipped right out. And it would have been nice to know, oh, it could have followed the path where it went. And then it went on the fridge and stuff like that. So this camera would be very useful for that kind of stuff. I don't know if you got a snake, but that's something it could be useful.
Hey, last big thing, works with Alexa too.
Oh, that's true. And so, right. If you use the poem, if you go to what our website, you go to
wise.com/lockedonpacers.
Yeah. You can get it for $20. All right, welcome back in the Locked On Pacers podcast. So, Pacers have one game left. We assume.
Wow, that's sad.
This has been such a long 2 months, though. I mean, after the All-Star break, it was like, okay, let's get to the playoffs, kind of thing. So, yeah. Honestly, it's sad, but also like time. It's time for the playoffs.
So, doomsday arrived. I mean, it doesn't matter now because the Pacers don't have to try anyway. They're locked into their seed. But theoretically, if they had to, Doomsday arrived in that the Hawks, it doesn't matter for them either. They're locked into their draft slot no matter what. So they're going to be playing everybody.
Yeah, and I assume the Pacers are not going to be playing everybody.
No way. That's what I was going to ask you. How many rotation guys sit this game?
Bojan hasn't missed a game this year. You think he
plays? He's out. Done.
I'm thinking he might. Does he play just to get in 82 games?
Oh.
Like, do you see?
No way. He missed the last game last year, remember?
Yeah, I know. But this time they're not going to play Turner for sure because he's hurt.
No way.
They're not going to play Collison. They're not going to play Matthews. They're not
going to play Reek again if he's banged up.
Or Matthews, who's been semi-banged up.
So to me, look at the 2,000 minutes group is Kojo, Miles, DC, Thad, Bojan. And we already ruled out for sure Thad, Bojan, and Miles. But one,
I don't know if I rule out Bojan or Thad. I think they might play him just 5-10 minutes. They both
missed one game.
Yeah, but why not? I don't know.
What's the point of 81 instead of 80?
I agree. Just to say.
Oh, wait. No. I'm sorry. That was wrong. Wait, have they missed a game?
Right. They both. I thought I'm looking at B-ball reference. It shouldn't be updated yet, right?
Oh, it's not updated for this game.
Yeah. So they both played every game, haven't they?
Played every game. One of Kojo or Collison's going to sit, I feel like.
Collison's sitting.
I bet you're right there. And then maybe just sit Sabonis. Can't have him get hurt. No point of having him out there.
Yes, maybe. So the better is what's the starting lineup?
You can't have Kyle Quinn play the whole game.
What's the starting lineup?
Holiday, Kojo. I guess Bojan plays. I don't have any forwards.
Well, I'm thinking McDermott starts.
Oh, man. You're going
Holiday, Kojo, McDermott, Leaf, and O'Quinn.
That'd be fun.
Sumner.
Davon Reed, Alize, Sumner.
Off the bench.
That'd be fun. That would be fun.
You probably need a ninth guy because you don't want
to. Yeah, make it Reek.
You think I'm thinking then the
play,
guy
needs the rhythm, make it Reek.
Maybe Matthews plays then?
I don't know. That would be fun. I would enjoy that.
I don't know. I do feel like Leaf and Holiday are both going to start, if I had to guess.
Yeah, give both of those. Actually, Holiday started already, hasn't he? No, he hasn't. Okay.
Didn't he start again? No.
No, he's at zero. Give Holiday his first career start. Give Leaf his first career start.
Did Leaf not start last year?
Did he start that last game? That game?
Let me look it up. He
started DR3. I remember that.
Leaf has never started a game. Never mind.
He has not. Ha!
First one you finally got one on me. Tony. Congratulations.
Lucky guess.
82 games, 81 games in, you finally got one.
I'm tanking.
Okay.
I've been tanking all year long. I want to look who started that Charlotte game, if you don't mind, just so we can get a hint of who didn't play.
Well, I know Thad and Bojan didn't play that game.
All right. Last year, the starters for the Pacers in their final game was Darren Collison, Lance Stevenson, GR3, Trevor Booker, Miles Turner.
So maybe Sabonis does play.
Sabonis did play 16 minutes, but Al Jefferson played. Joe Young played 22 minutes. TJ Leaf played. That's the type of thing you can expect.
Yeah, I just don't see.
And if Turner's out too, then kick up the Al Jefferson minutes from 13 to 28.
Well, and I worry if they play Sabonis, because you already have Turner's hurt. Why would you want to risk your other insurance policy? But then you need, right? I guess you play Alize as the center.
You good?
Yeah, no, I'm good. Sorry.
Your house on fire?
No, my house isn't on fire. It's okay.
Leave this one in. I love that. That's gonna be a great moment for listeners.
Sorry about that, guys. That'd be my roommate probably setting off the smoke alarm because we live in a small place and that's what happens.
Yeah. It's gonna be a fun rotation. I like those kind of like solving the puzzle games that don't really matter, just to see other guys show off their skills for once. I think the Hawks are gonna win too, because they're actually playing pretty good since the All-Star break. They're a slightly below 500 team with some exciting dudes. They have no reason to not try, so you'll see a bunch of them play. It'll be cool.
Yeah, you think they win the game?
The Pacers or the Hawks?
The Pacers.
No, I don't think they win.
They lose too. So
some batters are going to be pissed, but I do not think they're
going to. So I think that's actually a good place to kind of go. So they're going to end up 47-35, so one game worse than last year. The under, so I think we both probably bet the over, right? We both had 48. So
we both had 48.
Looking like, well, I guess.
Man, we can't say we're wrong. Like, come on.
Well, I remember after the All-Star break, it was like they only had to win like 7 games to get the over after the All-Star break, something like that.
Wait, no way they had 40 at the All-Star
break. We both said they would get over 48, though.
Did they get to? Yeah, we did. Did they get to 40?
I'm gonna look up. I forget
what their record was. I have their splits right here. Pre All-Star break, they were. Oh, whoa! I'm on the wrong season. What is this?
This is a great
This is
a great way to start the playoff week. 38. So they need a they need 10 wins. So sorry, they need
9 and 13. Sense. 9 and 14. There it is.
Yeah, they had such a tough march, man.
It's such a tough march.
Blech. They got creamed by just
Black.
Yeah. But I don't know. I it's gonna be kind of it's funny that they're gonna end up with the under, which I think a lot of people would have bet the over in the year starting. But it comes as close to that Vic is funny.
Plays like four more games, I think.
If Vic plays one more game, they probably end up 40. I mean,
yeah, they lost that first game in Memphis after he came back. They for sure win that game. There it is, right there.
Well, what's they lose any game on a ridiculous way? Oh, how about if Cavs. They just, that Cavs game?
Larry Nance. And then Bojan getting fouled at the end of the Raptors game, too.
Yeah, but I think that the Cavs one's the worst one because Larry Nance literally went to Vic and just shoved him and dunked the ball to win the game.
That was the lamest play ever.
Or if Bojan hits that shot in Sacramento.
Yeah. Or if they don't completely blow that coverage in Sacramento.
Yeah, that was a little bit more. That was the Larry Nance was much worse than that one. Much that worse. One was understandable. Because that one, Turner had to collapse on the guy to get to Brendan from making the layup.
No, Turner jumped out at him. And then Thad should have shifted over and he didn't.
I mean, or, you know, if they actually guarded Kyrie 3 games ago for 5 minutes.
this game would have been different if they were playing for the 4 seed, too, this Nets game. What do we talk about with the Hawks? We talked about the – I remember they played the Hawks like twice in 2 weeks, and I got so tired of talking about Atlanta.
Let's see if Trae Young has a nice game.
Trae Young's good. I'm very happy that I had Trae Young number 2 on my draft board.
Oh. Yeah, you had him ahead of – so what, you have Doncic 1 and him 2?
Doncic, Trae, Michael Porter, and then JJJ.
Okay.
So that's Porter I just loved, but yucky yuck on that being 3. But, yeah, I'm feeling good.
So what's the rookie of the year going to be? Is he going to win it?
Doncic, done.
You sure Trae Young isn't going to come out still the last couple games he's been playing?
No, it's a season-long award.
Isn't Trae Young up to a huge amount of stack?
Yes, he sucked for 3 months of the year.
Yeah, but isn't Trae up to 19.1 points per game, man?
Oh my God, Doncic is higher than that.
Is he? He's like 20, right? Doncic's been not that great recently, hasn't he?
Yes, that's why the discussion has changed. All right, Trae Young in the year 2018, the actual year 2018, 15.6 points per game. It took him 14 shots to do that. He shot under 40%.
Okay, you're gonna be shocked, but Doncic and Trae Young pretty much have identical stats, except for Doncic 2 more points per game because he is taking an extra shot per game. That's it. That's the only difference in their stats.
And he's a way better defender.
Okay, well, that's fair. But, like, their overall shooting, and so you're looking at 42 and 32 for Luka. You're looking at 43 and 33 for Doncic. Sorry, 43 and 33 for Doncic and 42 and 32 for
Trae Young. Shooting so hot recently that he's setting off Adam smoke alarm.
I know. It's fine. We have to just ignore a ton.
Do you read like in the news tomorrow about someone dying in a fire in Jackson, Tennessee?
That would be me.
So
Doncic's stats are 21-8-6. Trae Young's are 19-8-4. I mean,
so the Hawks have. Oh my God, are you on the Basketball Reference page for the Hawks by chance?
No, I'm not. I'm on just Trae Young's.
Injury report is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 guys log.
Oh, so is Young even gonna play his last game?
Cam Bazemore has a left Dr. Strain. He played in their last game. DeAndre Bembry has an ankle injury. John Collins rested. Dwayne Dedman has an ankle injury. Kevin Herter has a back injury. Miles Plumlee has a left knee injury. Alex Poitras has a right ankle sprain. Omari Spellman has a left ankle injury. And Trae Young rested. That's today's game. That's today's game at Milwaukee. That's happening. They're playing right now. Shoot.
I'm still on this rookie of the year thing. I'm not sure Doncic deserves it over Trae Young.
He does. He 100%.
They
does.
Literally have identical stats.
Stats are not the story.
Both teams stink.
The story, Harden would win MVP, and he's not going to win MVP.
Both teams stink.
You're frightening me, Adam. Are you okay?
I'm fine. I remember he just stopped setting off the fire alarm.
What is he cooking?
I don't know. Some pasta or something. He
Hawks are getting wrecked by the non-Giannis Bucks right now.
Yeah.
Is Giannis playing? I might be wrong. Giannis is playing. I take that back. The Hawks are losing to the healthy Bucks.
Okay. This podcast is diverging. And honestly, I wanted to end the podcast by previewing what we're doing this week because this is what actually matters for this week. I apologize for the smoke alarm.
We have to talk a little bit about this game, right? Do we?
Did we just did. What else?
Trae Young is the butcher. They have a bunch of other guys who are banged up. The Pacers are not going to play anybody.
Yeah, and they probably lose. We kind of covered this already.
yeah, okay. Okay, fair enough. I guess that was lazy, but we'll count it.
Yeah, we'll spend 5 minutes talking about what we're gonna do for the week because I think that's more important, honestly.
Yeah, we're gonna do fun stuff.
Yeah, one, apologize for the smoke alarm. There's three alarms at that.
And flames.
Yeah, that's okay, bad.
Okay, so today's Monday. You are listening to this, obviously, boxing and stuff. Tomorrow, we'll probably do a mailbag. So send in some questions on Twitter. By we, I mean me. We'll do a mailbag, questions about the playoffs. It'll be great. Wednesday, Hawks preview, some other stuff on my mind. Thursday will be a playoff preview against the actual opponent. Me and Adam will talk about previewing that series. Friday, probably a guest that covers the team that they are playing in the first round. Almost certainly the Celtics. We're not 100% sure, which is why we're stalling a little bit. But yeah, that sounds good, Adam.
Yeah, you know what's crazy? We probably have all the Celtics stuff planned, and then when they end up not playing us, we're going to be so pissed. We've been in contact with the Locked On Celtics guy, John Corrales, a bunch, and I know you've other Celtics people.
Another guy, yeah.
And then the minute they don't play them, we're going to have to scramble on Thursday to figure this out.
Sixers, I'm just going to fucking panic.
Yeah. They're not going to. I feel like Orlando's going to win today, and it's going to make
the last day of the season, Sixers Bulls. Is that on the Wednesday or the Tuesday?
I don't know.
On a Wednesday, so the Sixers will know if they want the 3 or 4.
I feel like Boston might lose to Orlando as they're playing right now.
Orlando battling hard. If they win, they're in, I think.
Yeah, I think that's why. One of the same scenarios as the Pacers, where it's like they want it more, or in the Pacers Nets game,
17-14 right now.
So hopefully that will ease our concerns if that happens.
Yeah, that would. Yes, as soon as the Magic win, I'll be thrilled because then it's done. And the top 7 seeds are set.
Yeah, and then once the playoff is set, we will probably do a podcast after every playoff game.
Every game.
If they're on a weekend, we might post it on Monday. Depending if they play Saturday or Sunday, we'll figure that out. But every game, they'll probably podcast after every game. In terms of that for me and Tony.
After every single one. And the whole thing, there won't be any more of the cute, like, let's talk about Thad Young. Let's talk about Aaron Holiday. It'll be like the game. This is the whole thing.
Yeah, and some of them might go up if right after the game that night or the next morning. That will also depend on kind of when the game, what time the game is played at, but
the story of the game.
Yeah, I mean,
lose by 20, it's like, okay, well.
Yeah, we're not going to try to give you guys a really depressing podcast. But
boring.
No, depressing is the right way to put it. Like,
we're fun people.
But the Pacers tend to win game ones a lot, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, that is true.
I feel like a lot of games. They've won the Cavs first game last year. They won the Raptors 2 years ago, first game when they were in the underdog seed. They won, you know, the year they played the Heat in the Eastern Conference Finals both years. They won the first game, I think, both times, or maybe they lost that first
game. One team.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens, but that's what we're going to have here. But we will, Tony and I will be back together on Thursday, but sending questions to him at T East NBA or at Locked On Pacers for our Tuesday playoff mailbag.
Be ready.
You can probably make him a little Celtics focused, even though they could end up not playing Celtics, but
I prefer it.
Yeah. And then you can follow me at Freedom Adam 5 and anything else, Tony, before we wrap up today's show.
I got nothing. Gonna be a fun week.
All right. Well, we look forward to Tony's coverage and look forward to our pre-playoff coverage. I know it might not feel as exciting as last season because of the circumstances going into the playoffs, but Tony and I are excited to cover the playoffs again because it's always the most. That's the reason we do this, to be honest. This podcast is for the playoffs and obviously for free agency.
Yeah.
That's today's Locked On Pacers podcast. As always, have a great rest of your day.